98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo starts now.
Straight up, 2 o'clock on this Friday afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome into today's edition of the Burns and Gambo Show. Here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. We are not inside the Auction Community Studios. We are instead on the road. Today, my name is Dave Burns, alongside the one, the only, John Gambadoro. Hi, Gambo.
Burnsy, we are at the Taj Mahal of fries.
You know what?
This is literally the Taj Mahal of all fries.
Usually when I shout straight up 2 o'clock in a grocery store, people stop and stare. Yeah. This grocery store is so big that I don't think the person shopping for zucchini heard me yell straight up 2 o'clock. This is the Taj Mahal of grocery stores, the fries here at Tatum and Shea, the southwest quarter of Tatum and Shea, and we're going to be here until 6 o'clock.
Looks like
today.
It's about 4 acres.
It's enormous. Huh. It's massive. Yeah,
it's about 4 acres.
Nobody batted an eye when I did straight up 2 o'clock. It's so huge in here.
I feel like I'm at my cabin right now. I do it.
We're here with our friends from Pepsi. They have been our terrific sponsors and partners all week long of Blitz the Bayou on Arizona Sports. Pepsi has teamed up with us all week long, registering people. We've got one more name that we're reading off at 4:30 this afternoon to try to register somebody for that trip to New Orleans for some football and some gumbo. We've got all sorts of stuff here at this Fry's Giveaway. You got a big football weekend to shop for. You got groceries to get. You got supplies to get. You got a big ASU game. You got a big Cardinals game. This Fry's right here. Come hang out with us. We've got 3 signed Archie Bradley jerseys. We've got 3 signed Archie Bradley balls. We've got these Pepsi Zero Gravity chairs that you've been sitting in.
Yeah, we got 2 of them to give away. We got the jerseys, the baseballs, the photos. I mean, it's a lot of stuff. It's real simple. Come by, you spin the wheel. We got the beanies, too. Man, that is a nice beanie. Cardinals beanies with the American flag on it. Little camouflage beanie. So we got 4 of those. We got a lot of great stuff to give away. A lot of great stuff to give away. So tons of prizes. Come on down, spin the wheel. Give yourself a chance to win. You can come down, listen to the show. They got everything here. I mean, you can go get a New York deli sandwich. You can go get some chicken. There's a Starbucks here. I mean, you can sit down, relax. It's like a restaurant, basically, inside a supermarket. So come on down and take advantage of the Pepsi specials as well. 12 packs of Pepsi products are only $2.79 each when you buy 3 right here at this Fry's at Shea and Tatum.
And don't forget, coming up next week, the new highly anticipated downtown Phoenix Fry's food store location. 67,000 square foot store is on the intersection of First and Jefferson in downtown Phoenix. I know downtown Phoenicians have been pining for a big time grocery store for a long time.
Go big or go home.
Fry's is opening up next week. Absolutely. Yeah, Archie Bradley's going to be down there too, helping him out with which is why we've got all the Archie Bradley gear today. So come see us today, Fry's. Tatum and Shea will be here until 6 o'clock with our friends from Pepsi, our partners with Blitz the Bayou. Let's tell you what we're weighing in on the big story of the day here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Burns and Gambo, the weigh-in, brought to you by 3010 Weight Loss for Life.
Usually we like to pick a particular story, a particular angle, a particular soundbite, something making the biggest news. There's no question that this weekend,
it's the game.
The biggest news is this weekend.
The biggest news is we've got a game on Saturday that could very well determine who's going to be the Pac-12 South champion. And we got a game on Sunday in which the Arizona Cardinals could get to 500 with a win. And then it would be a three-game winning streak, which the totality of it, as we've said time and time again, would stand out for sure, winning 3 games in a row.
Yeah, it's a huge weekend. And we'll start with the Arizona Cardinals and everything they have to accomplish on tap this weekend and what they're going to have to do to get there. The injury report came out today. Here's Cliff Kingsbury on Christian Kirk.
We'll see where it goes the next 48 hours, but he's done more and more, and not sure if he'll be up or not, but I like the progress I've seen.
Here's Cliff Kingsbury on David Johnson today, and this one doesn't sound nearly as good.
David has progressed some. If we play today, he wouldn't play, but we'll see where that goes.
Now, we'll see what happens with him on Sunday. David Johnson, for what it's worth, said he's feeling fine.
Yeah, to prepare for Sunday. Yeah, did everything, rehab, did everything, and, I'm feeling good.
He missed practice one day this week, not because of the back gamble, because of an ankle injury.
Yeah.
That's what he was listed as on the injury report. But Cliff Kingsbury saying today that if the game were today, David Johnson would be a no-go. Now, it's 48 hours. a lot of time, a lot of things can happen, maybe playing a little coy. Maybe he knows David Johnson is going to play, but he's trying to make it seem a little more uncertain, you know, to make the Giants, I don't know, think about some other different kind of game plan. It's the games that coaches play. I would think he would play, but I don't know. If that injury somehow got worse over the weekend or over the week, that might affect things
a little bit. Don't want to guess at something like that. With injuries, you don't want to guess. I mean, sometimes I hear things. I'll give you a heads up that I think he's going to play, and I'll try to find out on David Johnson as well. But right now, I just don't know. I mean, Christian Kirk, too. Listen, if they can get all their weapons back, you know, it's a bonus for Kyler Murray, and then we'll really get the gauge. You know, how do they use 10 personnel when Kirk is back compared to other weeks? From the Giants' perspective, they're going to get a bunch of guys back. But one of the keys, you know, one of the guys they spent a lot of money on to keep, Sterling Shepard is not going to play in this game. Am I correct?
You are correct.
He is out. So Sterling Shepard is out. He's the Giants' second leading receiver. They spent a lot of money to keep him. He's a good receiver, good hands, runs good routes. So he is not going to play. So that's a little bit of a benefit for the Cardinals that they're not going to have to chase him around.
Yeah, if you're to look at the injury report that was released, the full injury report that was released for Sunday's game. Yeah, absolutely. Sterling Shepard out. Saquon Barkley. Here's Pat Shurmur today playing coy with the media about Saquon Barkley's injury.
He practiced all week fully. So
you said, why, you know, if he's back, why wouldn't he be back?
Well, he practiced fully. We'll just have to wait and see. He's available, and if he's back, he'll be ready to go. I just choose not to tell you right now because we'll just wait and see. There's a lot of guys that practice, and some of them play, some of them don't.
It's injury report thing is literally like one of the dumbest things the NFL does. You got to give an injury report. These coaches aren't going to tell you anything. I mean, they're not going to tell you anything.
Doesn't seem like
David
it.
David Johnson's not going to play if the game was today. David Johnson, I feel fine. Feel great. Yeah, I'm ready to go. Yeah, like... It's just
right.
It's honestly one of the dumbest things they do.
Saquon Barkley practiced in full on Wednesday, on Thursday, on Friday.
Right.
He's been cleared to
He's
go.
He's playing.
Yeah, we'll see if he plays. I just choose not to tell you at
I
this
choose
time.
Choose not to tell you. These like these coaches say they don't want like the. I mean, I think they're guarding like these, you know, these world secrets or something with the injury cause on this thing. I'd love to know if it makes a difference at all in the Cardinals' preparation. They're going to prepare for Saquon Barkley playing. He's practiced three games in a row. You got to prepare for him that he's going to play.
Yeah, Pat Shurmur also wouldn't say if Evan Engram is going to play. He again, same thing. Practiced in full, practiced in full, practiced in full.
Well, that's their way around it, right? I mean, they have to list the injuries on the report.
Yes.
That's the NFL's guidelines. They have to list the injuries. They got to tell you whether he's questionable or probable or if he's out, once he's listed as out. But these, you know, you could put it on the report, but there's like a big gray area there. Because then you ask the coach, okay, he's practiced 3 days in a row. He's going to play? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know?
I don't know.
I'm not going to tell you guys. Like, what the hell is this? This is a waste.
All right, so that game is at 10 a.m. on Sunday. Cards Giants, as you mentioned, a three-game win streak would be significant in the totality
of it.
Of
course.
Just, I mean, you
can't
look,
deny it.
You could look at who they beat and go, well, they beat. A three-game win streak is a three-game win streak,
uh-huh.
And it is nothing to turn your nose up at when you went 3-13 last year and you can match last year's win total before the halfway point of the season. It's nothing to turn your nose up at. ASU has an entirely different set of skills that they're going to be displaying this weekend against Utah, an entirely different set of standards that they're trying to reach, I guess is what I'm trying to say. First place in the Pac-12 South, at least a part of first place in the Pac-12 South, and if we're being honest, being labeled the favorite and probably the betting favorite to be the Pac-12 South champion is on the line this weekend.
If they win this game, they've got USC at home. They'll get USC at home. And I think, is Arizona at home this year?
Arizona's at home this year.
Yes,
U of A's at home this year.
So, you know,
Oregon's at home this year. The only two road games they would have after this weekend, at UCLA, who won last night against Stanford, shocker.
They beat Stanford pretty good.
What happened
in that game?
Third string quarterback for Stanford. They've
had
a bunch of injuries.
Third string quarterback, that's right.
At UCLA, at Oregon State. After Saturday, those are the only two road games left for ASU this year.
You could win against Utah, lose against Oregon, come back and beat USC. You'll be the Pac-12 South champ. So if you lose the game against Oregon, I still think you're in pretty good shape here, right?
Because you'll have the tiebreakers head-to-head if you were to beat USC,
Utah. You'll have the tiebreakers head-to-head because Utah's already got a loss in the conference.
USC's
got a loss in the conference. So they each have a loss. So, you know, if you beat Utah and you beat USC, it allows you the luxury to lose to Oregon, and it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You've got a throwaway game. Bottom line is just got to win the Pac-12 South right now. Find a way to win the Pac-12 South. Give yourself a chance to play for the Pac-12 Championship. Get to a Rose Bowl in Jaden Daniels' first year and see what happens. This Utah game is huge. I never understood the line, why Utah's such a big, heavy favorite in this game. Utah's they're a good football team. There's no great football teams in this conference. There's not a great team in this conference. There's good teams. Nobody should be favored by two touchdowns over another as far as the good teams are concerned.
Utah's an interesting case study for me, because to look at them, you see all the statistical success they have. Tyler Huntley's had a great year. Zach Moss is 55 yards away from being the all-time leading rusher in the history of the school. Their defense is second best in the country at giving up rush yards per game. They force turnovers. They do everything really well. But to look at who they've done it against, it's hard to know. It's really hard to know if those numbers are a function. They're good. I'm not trying to say they're not good. Are they that good? I mean, they're in several significant categories, both offensively and defensively. They're among the top 25 in the nation. Are they really that good?
I don't know.
Or are they that good because they're weak non-conference schedule? Are they that good because the two teams they've beaten so far in conference are Oregon State and Washington State? ASU has a chance to be the first team ever in the history of their program to beat three ranked teams on the road in one season. It's never happened before. They're, I think, I'm comfortable in saying, a little more tested than Utah is. Utah might have a better roster. Utah might have better talent, and the home field advantage in this game might mean everything. But I think ASU has been a little bit more tested than Utah has based off of who they've played so far and where they've won those games
so
far.
This is going to be a hard game to win. Senior quarterback, freshman quarterback, games at Utah. They've got a great defense. Look, in a nutshell, I'm expecting Utah to win the game. Okay, I'm expecting that Utah will win this football game. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I think they're going to win. But I wouldn't be surprised if it's a super close game. The weather is going to be a factor, right?
Yes.
They're saying a lot of rain.
A lot of rain, a lot of wind. It's going to be cold.
But, ASU's got Benjamin. They've got Moss. Moss has been a terrific back. You're right. He's on the verge of breaking a record that's 30 years old. A record that goes back, I think it was Eddie Johnson, I think, was the running back for Utah, like 30-something years ago. He had the record. He's going to move aside. Zach Moss got a lot of family coming to this game. He's about to break the all-time Utah rushing record. It's a great back. So this literally may come down to, what team can hold on to the football in rainy weather.
Yeah.
Who's going to – because, listen, Utah might have an edge, but if they fumble the ball 2-3 times, it's going to be a big difference in the game.
Join Kevin McCabe and AG Preps live tomorrow from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. The Chick-fil-A off of Tatum and Cactus, right down the road from where we're at today. You'll have a chance to win free Chick-fil-A for a year, tickets, and other prizes. Visit the events page at arizonasports.com for details. It's the Chick-fil-A High School Football Roadshow Series. Patrick Peterson, he's back with the Cardinals. The trade rumors have been running wild, and Steve Keim has no idea why. That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. This weekend's Cardinals game against the Giants marks the return of two of the premier players in all the National Football League. Running back Saquon Barkley for the New York Giants. He is back, and even though Pat Shurmur is playing at all coy about whether he's going to play or not, we presume that he is going to be available. Patrick Peterson, one of the premier cornerbacks in all the NFL.
Oh, he wasn't traded?
No.
Oh, my God, I thought he was traded.
No.
My God, it's all I've been hearing about for the last, 3 days.
No.
Patrick Peterson to Kansas City. Patrick Peterson to Philadelphia. Patrick Peterson, there's, 18 teams that have been associated with Patrick Peterson. All right, so he's still here.
He's still here.
He got on the plane to New York.
Presumably, okay. Yes. I did not. I'm teasing.
I'm teasing. As you know, I'm teasing.
And I'm teasing back, but yes, he's still here.
Yeah, I'm going to continue to say I can't wait till the trade deadline to pass so everybody can just shut up. Nationally, not locally here, but just everybody can just shut up. He's not getting traded. It's not going to happen. You could debate whether it's a fair debate to say should they trade him or should they not trade him. That's a fair debate. That's open. I mean, you could make the argument that they're never going to get two first-round picks for him. But anybody that would say, boy, you know what? I wonder if they should trade him. He's going to be 30 years old. If you could get a first and a third, it's a fair argument. I would never, look at somebody or that's saying that and be like, oh, you're that stupid. I mean, it's fair. It's a fair question to think about what could you get for a premier player that would be a hot commodity. Clearly, he'd be a hot commodity, but they're not trading him. I think, in all honesty, I think they're probably going to end up extending him and keeping him.
Steve Keim, this morning, the general manager of the Cardinals, was on with Doug and Wolf for his weekly appearance, and he simply does not know why he said the question that this keeps coming up?
I don't know why the questions persist, because, again, I've addressed it multiple times. I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago. We are not trading Patrick Peterson. And our stance has simply been, you know, why trade a player in his prime at one of the hardest positions to find for a maybe or a couple maybes? And love what Pat brings to the locker room. Love what he brings to the field. Again, those positions are impossible to find. Left tackles, quarterbacks, corners. And there's no doubt in my opinion that he is the best in the National Football League and will remain a Cardinal.
Why would we trade a premier player at a premier position for a maybe or a couple of maybes? Now, that...
Because the reason you would think about it, I'm not looking sideways at anybody who brings it up. If you could get multiple picks for him, and again, it's not happening, but that's the theory of why would you trade him. It's because, you know, your team's not going anywhere this year, and you don't know if you're going to go anywhere next year. And if you could get assets to replace him, then you do it. But the part of keeping him is, man, he's probably got 3 or 4 really good years left.
Probably.
I mean, he's good. He's 29 years old. I mean, I think you could keep him as a premier cornerback in this league for at least 3 more years. And I do think that there is a chance that this thing could turn around by next year and they could be, you know, competitive and playing for a playoff spot.
As far as those extension talks, Steve Keim did he really actually didn't address it, but he was asked about it today.
Well, there's a number of things that we can do, and I don't want to get into hypotheticals, but, you know, again, guy's just coming back after missing 6 games. So, you know, I'm just excited to see him play on Sunday, and we have desperately needed him.
But I want to go back to what he said a second ago about we're not going to trade a premier player to premier position for a maybe or a couple of maybes. I don't think he was taking a shot at Jacksonville, but I think what he was saying was we're not going to do what Jacksonville did. We're not going to trade Jalen Ramsey for 2 first-round picks.
Jacksonville was backed into a corner.
Well,
the player.
Well, but that's and I guess that's the thing here is Patrick Peterson has not backed the Cardinals into a corner. We've talked about this all week long. Yeah, some people didn't like what he said, how he said it on Wednesday when he addressed the media, but he has not pulled a Jalen Ramsey with his team, and he's not forced the Cardinals into the same position that Jacksonville was in. I do wonder if somebody called up, somebody who lost out on Jalen Ramsey, if somebody called up Steve Keim and said, 2 firsts and a 4th for Patrick Peterson, what would he do? I know what he said this morning, but when you're actually faced with that big mother load of a deal, 2 first-round picks and a 4th, would you still say no? Or would you go, okay, now we have to think about it. Does he want to be here? Can we sign him long-term? Is he just going to tell us no when we go to him looking for an extension
Where's
in the offseason?
Where's those first-round picks? Are they somewhere around 25 in the draft? They're the 22nd pick. I mean, you're not going to get a team that's going to give you a top 10 pick, you know, in the draft. I highly doubt anybody would give 2 first-round draft picks for a 30-year-old.
I'm speaking more hypothetically than anything.
Yeah.
I would tend to doubt, because that's what makes Jalen Ramsey, that's why you can make that offer if you're the Rams. He's 24 years old. He's 5 years younger than
Patrick
Peterson.
You're going to have to pay him. He wants $22 million a year, from what I'm hearing.
You're going to have to pay him a ton of jack, obviously, mm-hmm. but you've got him locked up for the entire duration of the prime of his career. Patrick Peterson's got a shelf life to the prime of his career. It's just the God's honest truth about this. He does. So I don't think anyone's going to make that offer anyway, but when you say that, it sounded to me like he's basically saying, hey, that offer that Jacksonville got for Jalen Ramsey, we'd say no to that. We would say no to that. We wouldn't do that.
And you would have to listen.
You would have to, wouldn't you?
If somebody offered two first.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You'd have to listen to that.
You're going
you?
Hypothetical here because I don't think anybody's going to do it. But yeah, of course you would have to listen.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not that many players on a roster that you wouldn't listen to for two first round picks.
Right.
I mean, there's not many players on. Maybe 2 or 3 players. You wouldn't do it for Murray. But almost anybody else. There's a lot of players you'd have to think about it.
I think Murray is the only one I wouldn't do it for. I wouldn't at least listen. Any player on this roster, outside of Kyler Murray, if somebody called up and said, again, we're just talking hypothetically.
Chandler Jones.
This is what we do. You wouldn't give up Chandler Jones for 2 first-round picks and a 4th? I might.
Yeah, I might. That's what I'm saying. There's not that many guys on the roster that you wouldn't.
I'm sorry. I thought you were saying you wouldn't for Chandler Jones.
No, I'm saying you have to think about it. Listen, you'd have to think about it with anybody. Trade deadline's coming up. It's a week from this Tuesday. This Tuesday and then a week later. It's the Tuesday after the 8th week in the season. That's when a deadline comes up. Here's the thing. they're 2-3-1 without Patrick Peterson.
Yeah.
So on one side, they've won some games. Like they played six games and they've only lost three of those games without Patrick Peterson. When you get him back, maybe you could play a little bit better. Maybe you could win some more games. I know the competition hasn't been great, but maybe you could win a few more games. The other side of it is when you just look at the defense. This defense has been terrible. It hasn't been good. You know, you want to stabilize the defense a little bit, and who could do that better than Patrick Peterson?
Sure, and he's going to help out your second-round pick, who's been developing at a good pace in Byron Murphy. Patrick Peterson's going to help out Byron Murphy a ton.
There's no question.
A ton.
Yeah, there's no question not having him there. I mean, this is about one of the best cornerbacks that's ever played the game. He's an eight-time Pro Bowl player. Byron Murphy hasn't had him to talk to. When you get off the field and the offense is taking the field and you want to ask somebody about something and you're not Patrick, you got Tremaine Brock, but it's not Patrick Peterson.
Right. It was just one injury during another Thursday night snore fest. This injury made the entire NFL hold their breath. That's coming up next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
The Burns and Gambo Need to Know Twitter poll presented by Sanderson Ford.
Gambo, you had stepped away for a moment speaking with some of our fine listeners.
Oh, yeah?
Sarah Cazell.
Yes.
Just went big time on us.
I heard you just mentioned Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons.
Oh, this is, well.
Bigger than that?
This might be bigger than that.
Who loves you, pretty baby?
Sarah Cazell made SportsCenter.
No way.
Sarah Cazell made SportsCenter.
Yeah. Our own Sarah
Cazell. Our own
SportsCenter.
Sarah Cazell. Made SportsCenter's not top 10 list.
Oh, no.
Because Sarah, for our audience who doesn't know this, she is the in-game host for University of Arizona football games.
That's right.
And Sarah, I'll let you tell the story because they took the video of this and you were on SportsCenter. This made SportsCenter, but they're not top 10. It's usually like the worst highlights of the weekend or the week. What? Tell us what happened.
Yeah, so fortunately it was not my mishap. I was not the subject of the number 3 play on SportsCenter's not top 10. But as you said, I'm the in-game host for U of A football. We had a fan from the stands attempt a 25-yard field goal. It didn't go well. Not only did he shank the ball, his shoe also flew off and went flying probably further than the football did.
80% of all listeners can't make a 25-yard field goal. I'm telling you right now, 80% of the people listening cannot make a 25-yard field goal.
Yeah.
No, but they think it's so easy. You look at it, you think, oh, it's so easy. It's not.
I mean, I don't think he would have made the not top 10 if he just shanked the ball, but it was the fact that the shoe had more velocity than the football did.
So he kicked the ball, the shoe goes off the foot, the shoe flies, the ball flies.
Everything's flying.
The shoe flies further than the ball.
Correct.
And this was the third best, not top 10 moment of the week.
I gotta see this. Yeah. Can we see it somewhere?
You know, I haven't seen the video circulate yet, but as soon as I find it, I will send it to you guys.
I want to see that.
Wow. Yeah. Sarah Cazell.
Did the shoe make it through the goalpost?
It did not. Sadly, we totally would have given him the $1,000 if something had gone through the uprights. But nothing did.
That's awesome. That's good stuff. All right. Well, I know it's a big step down in your career, but can you provide the Twitter poll question of the day for us here? I know it's not SportsCenter, Sarah. See if you can lower your standards
for
us today.
It can't be SportsCenter every day, so that's fine. We'll stick with college football, U of A, and ASU football, specifically the rivalry. Putting U of A aside, who do you consider to be ASU's biggest rival, specifically in football? We have four options down for you.
Is NAU one of them?
NAU is not one of them.
The lumber jokes are not one of the options?
No, they're not one of the options. Okay.
No. What do you got?
Utah, USC, UCLA, and then other. A lot of people replying.
USC.
Colorado is that other.
I'm going USC.
Okay.
I'd vote for USC.
Okay. Final answer from both of you?
USC.
Yeah, USC.
All right.
USC.
64% of our voters feel the same. Okay. 64 say USC. 20%
smart voters.
20% voted for Utah. 11% for UCLA. Only 5% said other. But like I said just a few seconds ago, Colorado getting a ton of write-in votes.
Yeah, we're going to talk about this a little bit. There are some out there who believe that Utah and ASU do have a blossoming little rivalry going, and that these two schools, these two fan bases, don't like each other very much.
No, they
Nothing to match Utah's hate for BYU or ASU's hate for Arizona, but that there is a bubbling little rivalry between ASU and Utah. We'll talk about that coming up in a little bit. What we need to talk about right now, though, is what happened last night to Patrick Mahomes. That was scary for a minute. It was scary for about 2 hours. And you hear dislocated kneecap, and you hear that they had to pop the knee back into place while he was on the field. You realize everything that can go wrong when you dislocate your kneecap, all the ligaments that can be torn, all the damage that can be done. The
quarterback sneak.
On a quarterback sneak.
Quarterback sneak. He went in, and they said on the broadcast on the quarterback sneak, oh, you got to worry about the, you know, the ankle, and then he goes in, and he doesn't get it. He's down. And you're like, oh, my God, he's down. Now he was able to get up and walk off on his own. The kneecap popped out. It popped back in. But, listen, Kansas City's chances, they completely depend on him. This guy's got 2,100 yards passing already. He's got 14 touchdowns, just one interception. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the entire NFL. He's one of the three or four best quarterbacks in the entire league. He's got the ability single-handedly to lead that team to victory in any game that they play. He's that good. So without him, they were able to win the game. You know, without him, Moore came in and kept everything going, and they'll deal with the, he'll run the ship for a few weeks until Mahomes is back. But I think I was reading an Ian Rappaport story that said he thinks he's going to be out at least 3 weeks.
Yeah, they got their best case scenario for Mahomes. An MRI showed no other damage other than the dislocated right kneecap. And if it's just 3 weeks, then what you're looking at, he would miss games against the Green Bay Packers, the Minnesota Vikings, and the Tennessee Titans. Those are their next three games. They've got a Week 12 bye, so if they wanted to, they could hold him out of the Chargers game in Week 11 and give him like 5 full weeks to really recover. But if they want to get him back as soon as possible, if it's just 3 games, the 3 games would be against Green Bay, Minnesota, and Tennessee. Andy Reid last night was asked about the quarterback sneak and the criticism that he's getting for calling a quarterback sneak when he's got a player who already had a bad ankle. Here's what he said.
Yeah, no, that was a called play, yeah. Yeah, that was called. Probably shouldn't have called it, right? Is that what you're saying? Yeah.
Andy, do you have any regrets about calling the sneak? You know,
Andy. No, I mean, not too many people get hurt on a sneak, and so it's a freak thing. It happens.
Andy Reid defending the play call. Cliff Kingsbury today defending the play call.
I think that's crazy. The best to ever do it by far sneaks it 4 times a game, you know, and the best franchise in pro sports basically allows him to do that. So I think it's getting overblown.
I mean, you can't protect your quarterback. You can't keep him in bubble wrapping.
No, that's crazy to even have that argument, in my opinion.
He's obviously referring to Tom Brady, right? New England.
Cliff's 100% right, and the criticism is ridiculous. It's a quarterback sneak. Listen, if you think your quarterback's that fragile that he can't run a quarterback sneak, then he shouldn't be playing. I mean, honestly,
I think you're dead right.
You can't do a quarterback sneak to gain 1 yard on a play, then he shouldn't even be playing. Hey, I'm afraid he's going to break on this play. Well, don't have him play. Sit out a week. Get him ready. I mean, that's the question you got to ask yourself. Do I feel comfortable that my quarterback can run a quarterback sneak? If the answer is no, don't play him. Matt Moore's 35 years old. He's the backup now. He'll come in. He's a veteran guy, but he's not Mahomes. They're not going to win. You know what? They got 3 or 4 games without him. They're not going to win all those games. Probably go 2-2 if they play 4 games. A couple of those are tough games, right? I got to play the Packers. You said
Vikings are in there.
I think the Titans and the Chargers. I mean, none of those are easy games. I mean, do I think they're not going to lose all four? But Matt Moore's a 35-year-old journeyman. I mean, he's not Patrick Mahomes.
No, and he played okay last night. He was 10-19. He had a long touchdown pass to Tyreek Hill, 57-yarder. They're gonna have to go look for somebody else. I don't even think they have another quarterback on the roster, if memory serves. So they're obviously gonna have to go look.
They had Drew Henne, but I don't know if he's still there or not.
Chad Henne, me?
Chad Henne.
Yeah.
Chad Henne.
I think they did, but I think you're right. I don't think he's there anymore.
Brock Osweiler out of retirement.
You know what? Brock Osweiler's counting the Benjamins, man. He made $41 million for playing for like 3 or 4 years in the league. I don't know if he wants to risk that to come back.
I hate to say this. This could be a blessing in disguise for Kansas City. They're not going to get home field advantage anyway. Okay, they're not going to get home field advantage. They could beat anybody else on the road. Except maybe New England. But they weren't going to get home field advantage. They already got a couple of losses. This will allow Patrick Mahomes to get some serious, like, much-needed rest. This guy's nursing a bunch of injuries, right? He's got the ankle injury. He's got the knee injury. I mean, he's got this will give him some ample time to get healthy before that stretch run and the playoffs. They're going to make the playoffs. They are going to make the playoffs. So I think, in a way, this could be a little bit of a blessing in disguise. If he gets 4 weeks to heal the other injuries he's had, mainly the ankle injury, that could help them.
Something else that's getting a little national play today, I saw this on social media. And by this time in the broadcast last night, I had stopped watching the Thursday night game, so I didn't see this live. It's 30-6. Kansas City's demolishing Denver. Denver's offense had been humiliated all night. Couldn't run. Couldn't protect Flacco. Flacco couldn't protect Flacco. Social media all night ripping Flacco for bad body language or whatever. Flacco comes back into the game about 6 minutes to go, down 30-6, and Troy Aikman on the national broadcast can't stop laughing about it.
Looks like it'll be Flacco.
Yeah, I was going to say, it looks... looks like it will be Joe Flacco.
Almost as if to say, yeah, okay. Go get him, Joe.
Yeah.
You've done a bang-up job so far, Joe. Glad to see you're back out there.
Listen.
It's going to be Joe Flacco.
Drew Lock's going to replace him at some point, but he's not healthy. He hasn't practiced. He's been out. So Drew Lock's supposed to practice next week. He was on injured reserve. He had a thumb injury. So when he practices and he gets better, they'll play him over Joe Flacco. But for now, they don't have much of a choice. They got to play Flacco. The only other option, I think, is Brandon Allen. So it's Flacco until Drew Lock is ready to take over.
Yeah, but once again, this calls into serious question if John Elway knows how to choose a quarterback to lead the Broncos franchise. Because other than Peyton Manning, it's been one swing and miss after another.
Brock
for
Osweiler,
Elway.
Paxton Lynch.
Yep. I mean, he just can't. He can't. Seemingly can't choose a quarterback to lead that franchise.
He's tied to Drew Lock.
If that fails,
then he's done.
I don't know how much longer John Elway can be the decision maker for the Denver Broncos if he keeps missing on quarterbacks.
Drew Lock fails, then that's it. That's probably it for Elway there.
Well, it's just another day here in the Valley, which means there's another former Suns player taking a shot at the organization. Who said what? You'll hear next on the Burns and Gambo Show. It just wouldn't be a day that ends in Y if somebody weren't taking a shot at the Phoenix Suns. What, 2 days ago? Was it yesterday or 2 days ago? Draymond Green calling the Suns all sorts of nasty things about they couldn't develop Marquese Chriss, who, by the way, got a roster spot with the Golden State Warriors.
Good for him.
Did you see that? Yeah.
Good for him. Let him listen. Maybe the guy's been humbled. He's 22 years old. He's been on three teams. So maybe this is the wake-up call that he needs. Find a role, be a bench player, do what they ask you to do, try to hang around the league for a little while so you don't end up being a disastrous bust.
Yeah.
Play. Find a way to play.
But
do what they tell you to do.
Draymond Green made headlines certainly here locally when he basically blamed the Suns for the lack of development with Marquese Chriss and not Marquese Chriss for the lack of development with Marquese Chriss, and we talked about that a lot yesterday. Now it's T.J. Warren, and he was quoted in a story by The Athletic, Shams Charania, about getting traded by the Suns to the Indiana Pacers, a trade that certainly on draft night raised some eyebrows because, as we said at the time, we expected they were going to have to attach draft pick compensation to Josh Jackson. He was damaged goods. T.J. Warren's a good, productive NBA player, and yet the Suns still felt like they had to attach draft pick compensation to get somebody to take T.J. Warren. Warren, quote, "When I saw it, I looked at it as a business. I'm grateful that the Pacers were able to make that transaction for me. When guys get moved, they want to show and prove the team that moved them wrong. I'm not mad at the Phoenix Suns, but they made the deal, and I'm just excited to move on. I'm ready to show the whole NBA, and not just the Suns for making the wrong decision, that the Pacers made the right decision. I'm worth more than cash considerations. It's on me to prove it, but the Suns messed up." Close quote.
Suns had a surplus of wing players, and they valued Kelly Oubre and Mikal Bridges more than they valued Josh Jackson and T.J. Warren. Bottom line, they had too many wings. They needed to get players at different positions. They needed power forwards. They needed centers. They turned those guys into Aaron Baines. you know, who plays center, and Chuck Diallo and Kaminsky, and they shuffled things around to have a more balanced roster to where they're not so wing dominant. I mean, this is, look, here's the knock on TJ. Man, you were never healthy, dude. You never played a full season. You were always hurt.
43 games last year.
You're always hurt. Always hurt. Like, if you would have been healthy and been productive, they would have got a hell of a lot more. They still would have traded you. So it's not like you still would have got traded, and they probably would have got something for you. But your inability to stay healthy and play in games meant that they had to get rid of you for nothing. And that's what they did. It's your fault. You weren't healthy.
Yeah, Amin Alhassan, I remember this. He was on our show July 2nd, right after all of this went down. And he said at the time, man, the Pacers just could not believe what they were hearing when the Suns made this offer.
When Indiana got the call, hey, we'll give you TJ and the 32nd pick, the Pacers thought it was a joke. They didn't think this was a serious offer. And when they realized it was, they said, okay, it has to get done now.
Wow.
Because we're not going to wait for you to figure out the mistake that you're making here.
That was Amin Alhassan with us. Look, I mostly agree with what you're saying. I'm in the final analysis, I'm very happy with what the Suns did with their roster. I'm very happy with it.
Yeah.
And good luck
to those other guys.
I'm happy with the decisions they made. And TJ Warren, let's not make him out to be some perfect player. He'll help the Pacers.
Sure.
I wouldn't be surprised if TJ Warren helps that team get to a playoff spot if he can stay healthy. And to credit TJ Warren, all right, and I do not come to bash TJ Warren. To credit TJ Warren, he had a serious flaw in his game. His three-point shot.
And he worked on it.
And he worked on it like a mother.
I liked him as a player. You know that.
You loved him as a player.
I still like him.
Yeah.
But they didn't need a wing player. They needed a point guard.
But a power forward.
And a center. They needed other positions.
I will say this. And I still believe this. It is regretful that in order to move him, it had to be such a negative loss in terms of value.
Sure.
Why is that?
I checked around the league, and you remember, there's no value for these guys. What's the value for Josh Jackson? Like, none. What's the value for TJ? Like, none. Like, I talked to teams.
There should have been more value for TJ than Josh.
If he would have stayed healthy. He never was healthy. How many games did he miss in his career? Forget about just last year. I mean, if you look it up, he missed games all the time. He was always out of the lineup. I like him as a player. I do. I think he could be a great sixth man, but here he didn't want to be the sixth man. He wanted to start. So now you get traded, you get humbled, you go somewhere else, and now you've got him. Now you're like, okay, listen, that's survival. I want to stay in this league for as long as I can because the money's pretty good.
Okay, here's his game started in his career. 43 last year, 65 the year before, 66 the year before that, 47 and 40.
Right, and the season's 82 games long.
Yeah.
That's not games started, Bernsey. That's games played.
I'm sorry, games that's games played. Played. Yeah, I, games thank you, games Jordan. Played. That's games played. That's not games started.
Figure that out. Like, you want to know why they didn't get anything for TJ Warren? That's why. I talk to different teams all the time. There wasn't a lot of value from. I was surprised because I like him. I think he's a good player. But nobody wants to give $35 million to a player because he's got $35 million left on his contract. Nobody wants to give $35 million to a player who's always out of the lineup with an injury.
Yeah.
Sorry, but that's the facts. I like him. I think he's good. If he stays healthy, he can help Indiana. I wish he would have stayed healthy. The Suns would have actually got something for him instead of having to give up something to get him. But the bottom line is they needed, more than anything, to get rid of some of those wing players and turn them into other positions that they were weak at. And they did that.
There was a preview on the Phoenix Suns today on the Athletic's website. And I think it was Zach Lowe who wrote it or one of their NBA writers. I can't recall exactly who. And he wrote a lot, whoever the writer was, wrote a lot about the Suns, what's alike, what not to like. I'm going to kind of give you the Cliff Notes version of it here because the line here really stands out. Final verdict. I don't buy the Suns, but I buy Booker and Ayton as building blocks. I buy Monty Williams as a coach, even though I think this organization is relatively coach-proof when it comes to correcting its mistakes. The Suns should absolutely clear 30 wins this season. Tanking is over. What could be is over. They have to win. If they fall short of an even mediocre goal like 30 wins, it's time for Devin Booker to start thinking about the next organization he's going to play for in the future. Yes. Even though that extension just kicked in this year.
Everybody's just waiting. I mean, it's almost like you're just waiting for that. Just waiting to be able to say he's going to look for another team. We have no idea if he is or not. So far, Devin Booker is fine. He's happy here. He's excited about the future. He wants to be a part of the success that the Suns are going to have. He's paid the price. He's lost a lot of games. He wants to be here to be part of it when it turns around. Now, who knows, right? I mean, this is the NBA. How many guys did we see change teams? I mean, it's more than any league. The star players leave. But it's up to the Phoenix Suns. Here, it's up to the Phoenix Suns to surround Devin Booker with the quality coaching and the right players to help him win.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't had that combination of players and coaches to help him win in all the years he's been here. So now that part, that's on the Suns. That's not on Devin Booker. Devin Booker's working his ass off to be the best player he could be. It's on the Phoenix Suns organization to support him the way he needs it with coaches and players so that he can be successful and not want to ever leave.
I hope we don't need to find out whether this writer is right or not. And by that, I mean I hope the Suns win more than 30 games, because if they win fewer than 30 games, I'm going to wonder what sort of impact that's going to have on Devin Booker. Not because this writer wrote it, but because I think there might be some truth to those words. You know, if they have another season where they're in the 20s and wins, I'm going to worry about that. I'm going to straight up be honest with you. I'm going to worry about something like that, because that I don't know how much more he'll be willing to take, even though the ink is barely dry on that contract extension he just signed. I would definitely worry about it. There's a quarterback youth movement taking shape, not only here in Arizona, but all around the league. Why is it happening? How long will it last? We'll talk about that coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.